Southampton's Voice.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. From startups to established companies, I'll be bringing you a variety of guests from Southampton's business community. Today's show is all about the experience industry, and I'm both delighted and excited to be joined in the studio by Roger Walker, Chief Experience Officer at Experience Hampshire. Roger, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm good, thanks Matt. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, it's brilliant to have you in the studio, and I cannot wait to delve into the incredible business that you've created. And in fact, let's do that. Let's kick off. So I'm really curious, what does a chief experience officer do? Because is that kind of a play on CEO?
It was indeed. It was indeed. Well spotted. I run a small business, so as most people will know who run a small business, the boss does pretty much anything and everything that needs doing. Yep. So a bit of a mixed bag, from making the tea to getting out, promoting the business to finding new partners. So yeah, anything and everything, I think.
Brilliant. Not afraid of getting your hands dirty.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
I love that. Well, talking about the business then, tell us, Experience Hampshire, what's it all about? What do you guys do and how do you do it?
Okay, so essentially we're a digital shop window, I guess, is the best way of describing us. We are a website promoting, as the name suggests, everything Hampshire, and everything to do with experiences and activities. So we're a website that brings together, at the moment, about 220 different experiences.
Oh, wow.
All here in Hampshire, the most amazing county.
And give us a quick flavour. What sort of experiences are we talking?
Right. So we have a whole cross section. So everything from guided walks, historical walks around the cities in Hampshire. We've got foraging workshops. We've got pottery classes, alpaca walking, tree climbing, vineyard tours, you name it, basically. We've hopefully got it on the site.
And even a bottle of sailing. A spot of sailing,
no doubt. Yeah, so we're lucky. Hampshire has, as most people will know, probably about 240 miles of coastline. So lots of water, and we've got easy access to the Solent. We've got motorboat experiences, we've got some water sports, and we've got sailing experiences for sure.
Absolutely. And these are the things, so people can jump onto the website, find something that they'd love to do on a date of their choosing, book it, and then obviously head out on one of these amazing experiences.
That's the concept of the site. And the idea is really to be a bit of an inspirational website. So clearly, if one knows you want to go paddleboarding, you might well Google paddleboarding in the Solent, and we might or might not come up. We're working on our sort of a SEO for that.
Sure, yeah.
But likely that you'd find a water sports business in Hampshire. The idea of our site is a little bit more for people who perhaps don't know either what's out there or what they want to do. So they go onto the website and they can search various categories, adventurous or creative or romantic, and all our experiences, activities are categorized on the website. So they're then shown 10, 20, 30 experiences that have a link with food, for instance.
Brilliant.
Food and drink.
It's almost like you're searching via genre.
A little bit, yes, like that. So it's supposed to give people a little bit of direction and hopefully present them with some ideas and experiences, activities that they might not know actually happen or might not have thought of doing.
And we were talking about this earlier, the amount of people that you seem to come across that say, I didn't know you could do that in Southampton, or I didn't know that was even in Southampton.
Definitely.
Or in Hampshire, should I say.
Well, in Hampshire, or specifically in Portsmouth or in Winchester. And people have maybe heard of these activities, but have no idea that they're going on, you know, within half an hour's drive of where they live, for instance.
Sure. And these kind of things, can people buy them as gifts?
They can indeed. So the website's aimed at, I suppose, at sort of three groups of people. It's aimed at people who live locally, who are looking for fun stuff to do. So whether with a partner or during the summer holidays, school summer holidays, with their family to buy for themselves. They're also available, as you mentioned, by as a voucher. So we're great. Certainly in the lead up to Christmas last year, we were super busy. Everyone scratching their head thinking, what do I buy my brother-in-law? You know, he's got too many pairs of socks. he's got too many gin glasses. And, you know, people are kind of going off buying stuff. We've all got too much stuff. So it's great. You can go onto our website. You can spend whatever you want, £10 increments, buy a voucher, and the vouchers are exchangeable for against any of the experiences.
It's brilliant, isn't it? Because you're not just buying the experience, you're buying a memory.
Definitely.
It's something to look back on, isn't it? And go, oh, do you remember that day where we did this?
Yeah. I think, yeah, it's a little bit of a cliche, the old memory making phrase that we all talk about, but actually I think certainly amongst our younger clientele, you know, they're done with, as I say, buying stuff, and they would love nothing more than going out with a group of mates and, as you say, spending the day together, making that memory that they can remember forever, I guess.
Absolutely. Now, I from what you've told me, you've got, you know, well, you've been in the experience in the travel industry fairly long time, 20 years worth of experience, maybe a little bit more. Tell us a little bit about that, and tell us where did the idea for Experience Hampshire come from?
Yeah, so I have worked in the travel industry for about 25 years, and prior to Experience Hampshire, I ran a travel business, an independent travel agency, and then more latterly a ski business.
Sure.
And I think we might talk about COVID and Brexit in a minute, but I decided to pivot, I think was the trendy term that came about during COVID. A lot of people, I guess, looked at their lives and what they were doing, at the businesses they were running, and maybe decided to do something a little bit different.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm Hampshire born and bred. I love the county. I'm a big advocate for all that we have. All the county has to offer. You know, it's an amazing place. We've got, you know, two national parks, we've got three amazing cultural cities, we've got the coastline we mentioned, so it's a great place. And I just felt there was space in the market to bring together some of the more unusual activities, experiences, and put them in one place where customers could find it.
Absolutely, because it's interesting, isn't it? It's not necessarily easy to find some of these more, you know, obscure experiences, you know, apart from the run-of-the-mill stuff, obviously. But because we were talking, weren't we, about, you know, there are other websites out there. Some of them are operated by the government, but they can only do so much. And you've sort of found this niche in the market, I suppose.
I hope so, yes. I think what the big website run by local government is Visit Hampshire, and give them a good plug. They do a great job in promoting places like Poulton's Park, Spinnaker Tower, Exbury Gardens, Bewley.
Sure, yeah.
The kind of big attractions that we all maybe already know about, and they take them to market, put them in front of visitors from who are coming in from overseas who might not know about them. But what we tried to do is dig under the surface a little bit and discover activities, experiences that, as you said, people might not know about, even though they're only 10 minutes away or half an hour down the road.
Absolutely. An example of which, the medieval vaults.
Yeah, so our business is only about 18 months old. We've been trading about 18 months. But about a year, just over a year ago, I was at a networking event and someone said, did you realise that under the streets of Southampton, there are these medieval vaults from Henry II's time? And I had, as I said, I'm Hampshire born and bred, but I'd never heard of them before.
No.
And the guy I was chatting to said, yeah, they're like 100 metres from West Quay, the big shopping centre that we all know and love, and we go shopping there and eating there. And we perhaps know the old sea wall because actually West Quay is built on reclaimed land, as most people know, and the sea came right up to the big wall that runs alongside West Quay. But Henry II had this great idea. He was the first guy really to bring wine from France. He was married to a French queen. And he decided, wouldn't it be great if all the wine that was starting to come in from Europe came through Southampton? And he built these massive great vaults to store the wine that he bought in.
And people can book that as an experience.
It is, yeah. So we discovered a couple of guys that actually have access to these vaults, and they're all owned by Southampton City Council, but not generally open to the public. But our guy that we use, lovely guy called Jeff, who knows Southampton history inside out, takes us down into these vaults. There were about 50, just under 50 vaults. Of all different shapes and sizes, and most of them in great condition. So we run a tour once or twice a month now, a couple of hours, and you can go down and visit these vaults and understand how they, what part they played in Southampton history.
It's fascinating. Mm. It makes me want to just pop onto the website and see what else is there, because you're thinking, oh, I've lived in Southampton all my life, and I didn't even know that was a thing. So you've been training for 18 months. And you say that, you know, you guys work really hard to promote what you call micro businesses.
Yeah, we work with Mary Rose, for instance, down in Portsmouth, which most people all know. We work with Hampshire Cultural Trusts, who are the organisation that run all the museums around Hampshire. But they're probably the exception. Generally, we work with, as you said, micro businesses. Some of the businesses are literally one man, one lady bands, mm-hmm. as it were. Mm-hmm. So we work with a forager, for instance.
Oh, wow,
so
brilliant.
A lady who knows her mushrooms and her fungi. She knows her, you know, which berries that you find in our Hampshire hedgerows we can eat and which ones we can't. And we, as I think I said earlier, bring them to market, really. We help promote them to hopefully a wider audience than their own marketing.
Absolutely.
Does.
Yeah, no, I'm quite looking forward to sort of delving into the business model and talking a little bit more about the suppliers. We are about to take a short break because that's it for part one. But before we go, you've actually organised a very special offer for Voice FM listeners, haven't you?
We have indeed. So anybody listening, either live today or at a future date, if they use Voice FM, all one word, in the promo code at checkout, there's a 5% discount off any or all of our experiences they'd like to book.
Brilliant. Well, don't go anywhere because we're going to be back for part two, where we're going to be delving into this wonderful world of experiences and the industry that it comes with. We're going to be looking at some of these fantastic experiences that Roger has sort of curated, I suppose, with these amazing and these local micro businesses that are operating in the Hampshire area. So don't go anywhere. Join us for part two.
Voice FM.
You name it, we'll collect it.
So a bed?
Yep.
A sofa?
Yep.
All right, what about a shed?
Yes.
So anything?
Everything non-hazardous.
Hi there, I'm Steve.
And I'm Woody.
And we're the co-founders of Ethiclear.
We collect waste and clear houses.
And we do it ethically.
Because if your waste is good enough to be used again,
we'll make sure it is.
As Ethiclear has a network of like-minded people around Southampton.
So for anything
of almost any size
that you can't shift,
book your clearance at ethiclear.co.uk.
So I got a home office in the garden, and in the spring and the autumn it's perfect. But in the middle of winter and summer, it's not fun. The heater costs a fortune when it's cold outside, and in the summer, opening the windows just isn't enough. Which is why I got Just Coolers to install a small air conditioning unit. It keeps me cool in the summer and warm in the winter. It's the most cost-effective way of doing it. And with a 5-year guarantee and prices from $799, what's not to like? For your free quote, just visit just-coolers.com and keep your home office just right.
Voice FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. And I am excited to be in the studio with the very own Roger from Experience Hampshire, should I say. I was going to lead with your job title, which of course is Chief Experience Officer, not CEO. Anyway, we've been having a chat about the incredible business that Roger has created around really bringing some amazing experiences across the Hampshire area to light and helping people experience new things, I suppose we should say. So, Roger, can we delve a little bit into the business model and how your kind of business model works?
So when we set up Experience Hampshire, or we were talking about it, we came up with a concept, I think, there are two ways that you can run a platform like this. Sure, we're effectively, a marketing platform for all these micro businesses that we were talking about. So there's two ways you can do it, really. Either as a subscription model, so you build a website and you then charge people to be featured on the site. And that works well, I think, for businesses that have been set up for a while and have a bit of kudos and they have some traffic to the site. I think what I felt was the downside of that, if I was to go out and pitch to micro businesses, to our partners to come onto the site, if I was them, the first question I'd have said, well, how much traffic are you getting? And obviously, before we'd launched the site, we had no traffic at all. We're getting decent traffic now, but that's taken 18 months. So the other way of running a business like this is a commission model. So basically, the way we decided to go was that our partners, these micro businesses who are running all the experiences and activities for us, come onto the site free of charge and with no commitment. We don't ask them to sign up for 10 years or 2 years or even 2 minutes. They can come on to the site and try it out. And it's a payment by results. If we sell an experience, then we take a commission, a small commission for selling that experience. So it's a kind of, in my view, a win-win for these partners to be on our website.
Absolutely. It's a really nice way of putting it, you know, a marketing platform. And of course, it sounds to me it's very low risk for any supplier that wants to come on board, because like you say, if you don't sell an experience on their behalf. And what happens? So a customer books an experience and then at some point you pass them off to the experience provider for them to obviously finish any booking process, or actually, you know, in terms of running the actual experience itself.
Yeah, so just to follow the sort of business model through, the customers actually pay us, Experience Hampshire, or we hold the money on behalf of the partners. Sure. So the customer go on, let's say they decided they wanted to go walking alpacas, for instance, yep, one of our experiences. So they would go on, they would book the alpaca experience, they would pay us, we hold the money, and that instigates a load of tech behind the scenes. So the partner then gets an email to say, Mr. and Mrs. Smith have booked the alpaca experience in 3 weeks' time. Are you happy to accept that booking? They get the partner receives an email, ticks a little box that communicates with our platform. And then, yes, you're right. The customer then basically gets put in touch with the people that run the alpaca experience to agree exact times, where they've got to go to. And then the alpaca experience people provide the experience. Again, there's a bit of tech afterwards. So the customer receives an email saying, hope you had a great time walking your alpacas. Would you like to rate that experience? And that's really built into all the tech in the background.
It sounds incredible. And, you know, even though you're not necessarily the ones delivering the experience, it sounds like you're with the customer every step of the way, which is really nice.
Yeah, we wanted to. I think it's a fine balance when you're running a tech platform like this, and maybe it might be different in 5 years' time when we're processing, you know, 300 bookings a day. But very much at the moment, we're about holding the customer's hand, making sure that the booking process worked for them. We've vetted our partners. So the 100 or so partners that we have on our site at the moment, we've been out, we've visited them, we have the tough job quite often of going and trying the experiences out.
Oh, yeah, so, I can imagine that must be tough, yeah.
So, you know, you sign up a guy who runs an amazing motorboat out of Old Portsmouth, and of course I had to go out and just test that.
Just check it's all legit.
So we're keen to, you know, it's our name, it's Experience Hampshire's name, that's who people are booking through, although we might not be running the actual experience itself. It's our name on the door, as it were. So it's important to us that all of our partners are providing the best service that they can to our mutual customers, I guess.
It's fantastic. And because you work with so many incredible businesses and experienced suppliers, for want of a better word, partners, how do you maintain the levels of customer, you know, experience or service that you expect? How do you maintain that?
I think feedback is important to us. So as I just mentioned, customers get an email after they've been on an experience to say, how was that experience? Obviously, if they came back and said it didn't quite work out, then we'd be straight on it. And I'm very happy then to pick up the phone to our partner and say, look, for whatever reason, it didn't work out. And sometimes it's, you know, horrendous weather, for instance, and occasionally we have to postpone experiences because the weather's so bad, especially sure, if you're out sailing or whatever. But sometimes, things do go wrong occasionally, and it's about sort of managing the response back to the customer and going back and saying, look, we believe everything was done to make that experience good. But I have to say, of the experiences that we've sold in the last 18 months, you know, our Google reviews are all 5-star. So, you know, the number of experiences that we get niggles and questions about after the customer's taken part in them are a tiny part of our process.
Yeah, that's brilliant to hear, isn't it? What's the best customer review you've ever received?
Well, we've got, I have to say, out of the Google reviews, they're all, if people want to go on and Google Experience Hampshire reviews, you'll see them all there. But one of our partners is actually a friend of mine who's a celebrity chef who runs an amazing pub in Crawley, just outside Winchester. And Lenny, the guy, is a chef. He runs private cookery experiences. So having seen Lenny on Saturday morning, he's quite often on there with James Martin. People can then book an experience, a private one-to-one cookery lesson with Lenny.
Brilliant.
And people just love that, seeing somebody they've seen on the TV actually helping them learn to cook. They can go in with menu suggestions, and Lenny will say, you know, you want to learn to make an apple pie. These are my top tips for making the perfect apple pie, for instance. And people just love that.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm just thinking now, oh, I'd love to do that. Mm. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah. Are there any other standout, you know, I'm sure all the experiences are amazing, but have you got any particular favourites yourself?
Yeah, it's difficult to have favourites. We're bringing on new experiences all the time. So we mentioned foraging in part one. That's an experience that we've met this forager, and actually our first foraging experience is this weekend. So we've got 20 people going out on Saturday, a farm just outside Romsey, looking for mushrooms, looking for stuff in the hedgerows. We have a lovely lady who does pottery classes, for instance. So if you've ever fancied doing the old potter's wheel thing and getting a wonky pot that you try and keep straight on the potter's wheel. And Ruth's an amazing tutor, and I think that's coming back to our partners. We've got some really keen, perfect tutors who will work with you, whether you're making jam, for instance. That was an experience I went on last year. Never thought I'd get into jam making, but actually came away buzzing after a day of making jam. We went out, we picked the produce, and Jen, our tutor on that one, spent the day letting us create chutneys and jams, and we went away with 20 jars each of jam.
Oh, wow.
I did with some mates, coming back to testing experiences, which we have to do. We've got a brewery that we work with in Portsmouth, and you spend the day making your own beer. So I went with 10 mates. We arrived in the morning. We discussed, obviously had to taste a bit of beer to see what we...
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
What flavours we wanted. And then we spent the day with the head brewer designing the beer, designing what we wanted to taste like. We designed the cans, the name on the can and the label on the can. We left the beer with them at the end of the day for 3 weeks, and then we went back and we picked up 200 cans between the 10 of us of our own beer, which we enjoyed drinking.
Absolutely.
And actually tasted quite good considering we were novices to the beer brewing world.
Absolutely. Can you order some more if you want to?
Yeah, we could do this. So they keep Mark, the head brewer there, knows the sort of recipe that we use. So if we wanted to order some more, we could order some more. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, so quite a cool experience, yeah, for a group of mates, for a stag do or corporate. You know, if you want something a little bit different, 10 of you can go down and brew your own beer.
Definitely. And is that experience available on the site?
It is, yes. Yeah, beer brewing day.
I can imagine you're going to have a flock of people just heading over there and checking out some of these cool experiences. You mentioned before that you are you are a marketing platform, but I'm curious to know how important is marketing for your business? Because you're obviously trying to get customers to the site, but at the same time, you're marketing the experienced suppliers, aren't you? So it's an interesting connection.
It is, yeah. We're really trying to bring these micro businesses and what they do, the experiences that they already offer, to a wider audience. So, yeah, marketing is key.
Are there any particular channels or campaigns that you do?
I think being a new business, we're trying anything and everything. So we have social media platforms, so you can find us on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn. We were chatting just before the show. I've just come back from Car Fest, which is the big festival run by Chris Evans at Laverstoke Farm, just north of Winchester, and we had a stand there for 3 days. So we're there promoting Experience Hampshire, promoting the brand on behalf of our partners, really. And they get all this for free, as we've said, really. It's free to be on the site. So, we run events. We've run hosted events. We've got an email database, which you can sign up to. So if you hop onto the site, just Google Experience Hampshire, you'll find us. You can sign up for our newsletter. And then we keep you not bombarded with offers, but, you know, special offers of experiences that we're doing in the next few weeks.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is brilliant. Are you looking for any new experience providers? If there's somebody out there that's got a micro business, or, you know, perhaps there's someone out there that already offers an experience and they think, well, actually, I'd really benefit from being on your platform. Are you looking for newbies to join?
We always are. And in fact, just as a couple that spring to mind, we've got a pole dancing experience, which we're just about to sign up to the site. So we're not me personally, but I've got some ladies going down to test that out on Saturday. So that will be quite fun. I think that could be good for hen parties or birthday experiences. We've also hooked up with a couple of guys who have bought an old biplane, which they've just had renovated, and they run that out of Solent Airport down near Gosport, and we're going to offer wing walking experiences.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So you'll actually be able to stand on the top of a biplane. Can't believe people all pay money to do this, but anyway, you'll be able to stand on top of a biplane, take off from Solent Airport, and spend about 10 minutes up in the air above Gosport. So those are just two new experiences that we've discovered recently. So yeah, we'd love, if anyone's listening, either who runs an experience already or thinks there's some way that they could tailor an experience, curate a business, an experience as part of their business, we'd love to hear from them.
when you said that about all this kind of testing of experiences, and earlier in the show we said your job title is Chief Experience Officer, and you said your job was making the tea and this, that, and actually I bet you're okay. Just full-time experience tester, which sounds like an amazing job. Of course you probably do way more than that, but yeah, I think that it just tickles me every time. I think it's a very, very cool job title.
Yeah, well, there are a lot worse jobs to be doing, I'm sure, in the world.
Absolutely. We're going to take another short break. Part two, where's part two gone? Can't quite believe it. I'm just thinking about all these incredible experiences I need to go and I need to go away and do. Before we take a short break and play some music, we have a very special offer for Voice FM listeners. Do you want to tell us what it is?
We do indeed, and we're offering a 5% discount off any of the experiences on our website. All you need to do is use the code VOICEFM, all one word, and pop that in the promo code section at checkout, and a 5% discount is all yours.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much for organising that, Roger. We're going to take a short break, but don't go away, because in part three, we're going to be delving into some of the challenges that Roger has faced throughout his business journey, and asking him that classic question: if you were to do it all again, what would you do differently? Don't go away.
Live and local, Voice FM.
Let's hear more from Ian at Station Motors.
I think it's important to have a family business. My customers relate to it. I've been doing cars for people, and now I'm doing their son's cars. My daughter works in reception, and my son's nearly a fully qualified accountant. He does my bookwork, both very good drivers. I used to walk to school past his garage. It was a petrol station back then, so I ended up buying the garage off that family, you know. So I like to think I've brought my family into that family business.
Station Motors Woolston, by the Itchen Bridge.
This is the sound of exercise when it's made fun. It's called VisoSport, and it started in Southampton. You meet up, you play fun games, you exercise, you laugh, you keep fit. It's for people of all abilities. Visit visosport.net or search for VisoSport in Meetup and have fun getting fit.
Southampton's Voice.
I'm in the studio with Roger, Chief Experience Officer from Experience Hampshire. Roger, how are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, Matt.
Brilliant. Well, look, we've talked about some really interesting stuff. Is it fair to say that in 25 years of business, you've been through the mill a few times?
I think business is challenging, and we all have ups and downs. I came to running my own business by default, really. I didn't set out thinking, right, that's what I want to do.
Okay.
So I was actually, when I was young, I didn't go to university, but I got into outdoor pursuits. So I worked, a lot of people living locally will know, Calshot mm-hmm. Activity Centre.
Yeah,
so I ended up working down there. Through that, I got into skiing, snow skiing. I ended up working for a ski company and then decided that actually I fancy running my own business. It was seemed like a good idea at the time. I'd love to say I had a big life plan, but I didn't. And you end up becoming, as we said earlier on in business, especially when it's a new business, you end up being everything to that business. You know, you're a marketeer, you're a salesperson, you're the boss, you're the accountant. Making the tea, for sure. You're doing absolutely everything. And that journey, I suppose at the beginning, I had a view that you would get to a point in business where actually it was all sorted. You were making lots of money. You were having a good time, lots of customers, and you could sort of take your foot off the gas, really. But I think everyone that runs their own business will know there's never a time when you take your foot off the gas. There are a lot of bumps in the using the road analogy. There's a lot of very big bumps in the road and some big potholes as well. So it's definitely a journey, and running your own business is not for everyone, for sure. So yeah, there have been lots of bumps and lots of potholes along the way. But I think when I look back at it, would I ever go and work for somebody else? No, I don't think I would. I think if you enjoy the thrill and the traumas of running your own business, if you can enjoy traumas.
Well put.
If you can endure, yeah, I should enjoy the excitement and endure the traumas of running your own business, then that's kind of in your DNA and that's something you just want to keep doing.
Yeah, some say once you've owned your own business or ran your own business, to a certain extent, you make yourself unemployable.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd be the most employable person. I think you get, especially at my age, you get sort of set in your ways, really. And you just, yeah, when you're used to making all the decisions in a business, I guess it's, I can only imagine, but going back and answering to other people is slightly more tricky.
A challenge, for sure. Yeah. But it's interesting, though, because we were just talking in the break about how, Roger, you've, with Experience Hampshire, it's a website, but behind it's quite an intelligent platform. And you've built that from scratch. So it sounds like, you know, obviously you're not necessarily a developer, let's say, but you've had to learn, you've had to understand, you've had to adapt to, you know, new ways of working. Let's have a little chat about some of the things that have happened, you know, recently, COVID, Brexit, etc. How have these kind of events impacted your business? Because something that we were quite keen on talking about today was the importance of testing the resilience of your business. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, as you and I were chatting before, I think what COVID taught us all, and whatever kind of business that you ran, and different businesses were affected in different ways, but I was involved in the travel business. I was running a travel business, and as everyone knows, travel, I think, was the first thing to get hit by COVID. Mm. You know, we were all basically just told to stay at home. And it was hit massively hard and massively quickly. It was almost like somebody had pulled the plug out of the whole business. So, you know, we were running a ski company at the time. We had lots of skiers away in France and Italy. And within about a week, our whole business went from being extremely successful to nothing. And at the time, the trauma of not knowing what was going to happen, none of us knew. I mean, hindsight's a wonderful thing. And you can look back and say, well, you've just got to stick at it for a while. COVID has finished, hopefully, touch wood. But at the time, it was extremely traumatic. And I decided that I just didn't want that trauma anymore, really. It was too stressful. Brexit collided with that, and obviously there were issues about employing. We used to employ a lot of staff, UK staff, to work abroad, and that's really difficult now, unfortunately, since we've left the European community. So that was massive, and that really caused me to rethink my life and think, actually, I want something a bit closer to home, something a bit more manageable. And that was where Experience Hampshire came.
Ah, so that was the catalyst.
It was, yeah. And I sat down, I'm happy to admit I had some sort of dark times. It was, you know, I saw a very successful business, you know, in big trouble. And I just couldn't quite see a way through, really. So I decided to close that down. I thought, what can I do? How can I use my skill set that I have? I wanted to, as we just said, I didn't want to go and work for somebody else. I wanted to set up another business. And a friend of mine said that he would like to get involved. So we brainstormed some ideas and decided that Experience Hampshire was fun, exciting, and had the potential to do great things, which it seems to be doing at the moment.
Absolutely. What would you say to somebody that was starting a business for the very first time?
Gosh, that's a big old question. I think the asking people, asking around, talking to people is a big thing. So it's very easy to get wrapped up in the excitement of thinking, wow, I've got this amazing idea and I'm sure it's going to work. And you perhaps ask your partner and some people very close to you, and they're desperately keen to support you. So their vision might be a little bit biased. Their support, yeah, you know, you go for it. If you think it's right, you go for it. And there's an element of that, but I think asking around what other people think about your idea, And taking on board that criticism and not just brushing it to the side and saying, oh, well, he said it was a rubbish idea. I'm not going to worry about his opinion. I think it's chatting to people and talking to people as well who've run businesses, not necessarily in the same sphere as you, because as we've sort of talked about, running a business is running a business. So whether you're selling cars or washing machines or experiences, the concept's very similar to a point. So it's talking to people that have been there and done it and more experienced than you, and realizing that it's not for everyone running a business and that not all businesses succeed. So don't just think that you're going to be driving around in a red Ferrari after 5 years of setting up your business. I can assure you it's not quite like that.
No, that's it, isn't it? Like you say, you know, you've talked about the bumps in the road, the potholes and bits and pieces. And of course, you know, you guys are an online booking platform. There's, of course, you know, there's always the threat of cyber attacks and bits and pieces. And I know you've had a bit of experience with that in the past. Mm. And I suppose it sort of, you know, highlights the importance of stress testing your business and testing the resilience of your business. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, again, I think COVID's proven to us that there are curved balls, as it were, that can hit your business that you couldn't even perceive. I mean, nobody believed that a pandemic would stop the world like it did. And to be fair, even if someone, and probably people did say this is going to happen one day, and nobody believed it, did they? We were all just head in the sand, no, it will be fine. So I think, yeah, what COVID certainly taught me is looking at your business and without being too negative, saying if something like COVID happened. And coming back to our travel business, somebody literally pulled the plug out. So if you're running a successful business one day with lots of customers, if tomorrow your customer pool just dries up instantly, how long could your business survive? Could it survive 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years? And just trying to understand before it happens, ways that you could be more resilient, that you could have plans in place to say, actually, maybe I'll save a bit more of the company profits if the company's making profits, squirrel a little bit more away for a rainy day, just so that if your customer pool dries up for 2 weeks or 2 months, you've got a little piggy bank to call on, really.
Yeah, that's really wise words. And of course, that doesn't just apply to the travel business.
No.
Every business owner, this is probably something that people should be thinking about regularly, not just once, write it down and put it in a filing cabinet somewhere or save it to your Dropbox or whatever it might be. It's actually sort of reviewing this on a regular basis.
Yeah, and having a discussion with people, if your business grows a bit and you've got employees or you've got other people involved in setting the business up, having that conversation. And it's very easy to get carried away in the excitement of running a business and thinking it's going to be amazingly successful, which hopefully it will be. But, you know, be prepared for some bumps in the road. Be prepared for some times when business does dry up for no fault of your own, but, you know, be prepared.
Good, yeah, that's wise words for sure. I know. So Experience Hampshire, I know it's only been trading for 18 months and you've come such a long way, but if you were to go all the way back to the beginning again, in that short time, is there anything that really stands out that you'd maybe do differently or you might approach in a slightly different way?
I'm not sure that we would. I think what we've done, and it's partly having had the experience of running a business before, so I've been lucky to learn sometimes the hard way of what's good and what's not so good. I think one of the things that I'm still surprised at is you can have a set view of where you think your business will be in 6 months or 6 years' time. But be prepared to be sort of buffeted by the winds of business, as it were. And there are some things that we've tried in the last 18 months that haven't really worked in terms of marketing our business, and other things that we didn't think would work, which have been really successful.
Yeah.
So I think don't have too many preconceptions about what your business will be. And the advantage of being a small business is you can be super flexible and adaptable. And I think that's another great lesson to, you know, if you set up a shop selling something particular that you desperately want to sell, accept that maybe that thing, whatever it is not the thing that's going to sell, and people will start coming in asking to buy something else. And don't be stubborn and say, well, I'm only selling skateboards, so I'm not going to sell electric scooters. You know, go with the flow a bit and test the electric scooter market. If people are coming in asking for that, then, you know, so be a bit adaptable and be flexible, because that's the advantage of a small business, as all SMEs have over the big guys. It's very difficult for the big boys to be that flexible and change and adapt to trends.
Absolutely.
But small businesses can be, so, you know, seize the opportunity.
Absolutely. Are there any other experiences that we've not spoken about that sort of stand out, or you think people should definitely go and try that?
I'm going to finish on one which is great for maybe a corporate group or a stag or hen weekend, and that's, we've not mentioned, tree climbing.
Oh, wow.
So we've got a couple of guys, experienced climbers. We've got a 90-foot high cedar tree just outside Winchester. 90 foot's pretty high if you're up there looking down. You do need a little bit of a head for height, so obviously not for people who suffer from vertigo, but if you've never climbed before, fancy a bit of an adventure, these guys will take you from the ground, and during the it's about a 4-hour experience, they guarantee pretty much to get everyone to the top of this cedar tree, from where there's an amazing view. You can engage with your best mates if you're on a stag.
Brilliant.
Do, or your corporate staff.
Yep.
Sit up there at the top of the tree. They'll bring you up a flask of tea and you can sit at the top of a tree.
Oh, wow.
And watch the world go by.
That sounds amazing. And you've of course arranged a very special offer for Voice FM listeners. There's a voucher code, isn't there?
There is indeed. So if listeners use Voice FM, all one word, and pop that in the voucher code section at checkout, then there's a 5% discount.
Well, Roger, that's amazing. We're actually out of time, but thank you for coming in to the studio today. Have you enjoyed it?
I've loved it. Great to be part of the show, Matt. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I'll be back again next week with another exciting guest. You've been listening to The Business with Matt Trevis on Southampton's Voice FM. Bye for now.
Voice FM. Voice FM.
Greasy pizza boxes, and don't put in your recycling bin dirty tins and dirty plastic bottles.
If any of your recycling is dirty, greasy or wet, your whole bin could be rejected. So follow this golden rule: keep your recycling clean, dry and loose, and remember,
don't put in your recycling bin greasy pizza boxes.
This message is supported by Voice FM, and if you want to know more about recycling in Southampton, visit voicefmradio.co.uk/recycling.